Our speaker for this afternoon is Brother George Wilmot, Fort Worth, Texas. He's chosen as his subject, a study on parousia. A study on parousia. Brother George.
Our Heavenly Father has richly blessed the last week. We have a load of Christian loving greetings to deliver to you. Some of this may be a repetition because some of the brethren we've seen during the past week are here. First of all, we have greetings from your brethren in Fort Worth. It was our privilege last Sunday to be with the North Carolina friends who met together at Greensboro. A very delightful day. The brethren there sent their love. The next day, it was our privilege to be with the Columbus, Ohio brethren. These brethren along the way, of course, as I've said, have sent their love. Then we had the privilege of visiting with Brother Poe. Brother Poe is doing fine after his surgery. He wanted to be remembered to the friends. I'm sure he would appreciate your prayers. Then at New Albany, Columbus, Indiana, Muncie, and Piqua. And it was my privilege to talk for quite a long time on the telephone to Brother Malouk of Dayton. He was rejoicing in the truth when I talked to him. He too, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers. Our lesson, as has been announced, is a study on parousia. If you'll take your Bible and turn to each scripture, I believe you'll receive a greater blessing. Also, we'll try to number these. If you're taking notes, you'll be able to put down the 24 scriptures in which the word parousia is used. First of all, we're going to consider two scriptures in which parousia is properly translated presence. Number one, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul writing. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence, parousia, is weak, and his speech contemptible. Our next scripture is Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12. Here, the Apostle Paul is contrasting presence with absence. The translators were almost forced to use presence. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now we will turn to Matthew 24. At this point, we will go right through the New Testament. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he, that is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy presence and of the end of the age? Our Lord was the wisest of teachers. He did not immediately answer their questions. Our Lord knew that a long period of time would elapse between his first and second advents. Briefly, as we note in the following verses, our Lord summed up events as they would transpire down through the gospel age. Briefly, we'll note a few of these events. We note there in the following verses that our Lord said that down through the gospel age, there would be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes, and the like. We would note that today we have earthquakes, we have pestilences, famines, and the like. We would emphasize that these things in themselves, which are still occurring today, are not in themselves signs of our Lord's presence. True, it would almost seem that some of these things have become intensifying. However, let us note that today there are more people living on the earth than at any other time in history. Furthermore, because of modern communication, people throughout the world know almost instantly when an earthquake has occurred. These things in themselves, then, are not signs of our Lord's presence. On the brighter side of events which would transpire down through the Gospel Age, our Lord in verse 14 noted, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This gospel, this good news of the kingdom would go forth as a witness before the harvest of the gospel age. The harvest is the end of the age. History reminds us that the gospel contained here in the Bible had gone forth in the major languages of earth by the 1860s, shortly before the harvest began in 1874. We would emphasize, my dear brethren, that the harvest still continues. In Isaiah, the 61st chapter, we have words which primarily apply to our Lord and head. They also apply to each one who has come under the one anointing of the Spirit. As each one accepts the invitation to make a full consecration, by fully consecrating, he is begotten of the Spirit and comes under the one anointing of the Spirit. As we read these verses, let us note that primarily they apply to our Lord, but they also apply to the body members who have come under that anointing. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." My dear brethren, it is still the privilege of each one who has come in under this one anointing to proclaim these good tidings of the kingdom. It is still the privilege of each one to bind up the brokenhearted. Think with me for a moment. More than 100,000 homes are invaded by the enemy death every 24 hours, day after day. Particularly at this time, in this transition period, it is the privilege still of each one who has come under the one anointing to tell the groaning creation as they have opportunity the significance of the day of vengeance. Something you remember that was not the due time at our Lord's first advent. We would emphasize then, friends, that we're still in the harvest. There is still work for each one who has come under the one anointing. continuing in Matthew, the 24th chapter, just hitting some of the highlights, we would note in verses 21 and 22, concerning the Great Tribulation, almost a quotation from the prophet Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1, that when Michael would stand up, when our Lord would taken himself his power to reign, there would be a time of trouble, great tribulation. And as we have seen, it is our privilege to tell the groaning creation the significance of these troublous events. Such as was not, our Lord continued, since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Then in verse 22, we have those assuring words that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for, the thought is by or through, the elect Christ, head and body, these days will be cut short, will be stopped before all flesh is destroyed. Coming now to an answer to the disciples' question concerning what shall be the sign of thy parousia, may we note scripture number four, Matthew 24, 27. Did our Lord give a good answer to the question, what shall be the sign of thy presence? We can think of no better illustration than he gave. For as the lightning, properly translated, the bright shining, referring to the sun, cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia, the presence of the Son of Man, be. In opening, we sang concerning the fact that we're in the beginning of this new day, this thousand-year day. The watchers realize this. It is not yet full sunrise. It soon will be. It will be full sunrise just as soon as the last member of this anointed class passes beyond the veil. However, light began to shine on this dark earth when the Sun of Righteousness appeared in 1874. In 1878, the body members of Christ, who up to that time had been asleep, were resurrected and became a part of this Sun of Righteousness. This first resurrection continues. Soon it will be full sunrise. We know that there has been a great enlightenment, that the Sun of Righteousness has begun to shine, because throughout the earth, as never before, the hidden things of darkness are being brought to light. Because of the modern communication, the whole world knows about these hidden things which are brought to light almost immediately. My dear friends, it is not a time of perfection at the beginning of this thousand-year day. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 reminds us concerning this thousand-year day, but it shall be one day with the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time, at the close of this thousand-year day, it shall be light. That Sun of Righteousness will have brought enlightenment to the entire groaning creation, even including those who have died, who during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom will be awakened and enlightened with the truth. Coming to scripture number 5, Matthew 24, verse 37, we note these words. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the presence, parousia, of the Son of Man be. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them away, took them all away. So shall also the coming parousia, this is number 6, scripture number 6, of the Son of Man be. Is it wrong for man to eat food, drink water, marry, and be given in marriage? No, that's God's arrangement for man. It is true that before the flood, there was much wickedness. It is true that today there is much wickedness in the earth, much evil, much violence. However, the emphasis by our Lord is on the fact that the people before the flood and also at this time know not the significance of the signs of the time. We emphasize verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Before leaving Matthew 24, may we note verse 43, which does not contain the word parousia, however, it relates to the subject. But know this, that if the good man, it's referring to the householder, it's referring to the god of the second world, Satan, but know this, that if the householder had known in what watch the thief-like presence of our Lord would come, he, the adversary, would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The thought is undermined. Today we see the old order being undermined. The old order is about ready to topple. It's making room for the new to be established. Then also, before leaving Matthew 24, we will note a passage which has already been referred to many, many times in the past concerning the meat in due season given to the Lord's people at this time through the ministry of that faithful and wise servant. Scripture number 7, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. This is the resurrection chapter. May we begin with verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, the thought is all who eventually come into Christ shall be made alive. It will be necessary for one to accept and obey the Savior if they gain life. Then verse 23 covers 1,000 years. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at or during his parousia, his presence. The resurrection age then is the 1,000 years of our Lord's second presence. Have we entered the resurrection age? Has the first resurrection begun? We believe that it has. In due time, the world of mankind will be awakened from death. That's a little later on in this resurrection age. More about that later in another scripture. Scripture number 8. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17. This is a use of parousia. It's not referring to our Lord's presence. I am glad of the presence, parousia, of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. This shows that these brethren had to be present in order to supply something that the Corinthians did not supply. Then, number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Number 10 will be verse 7. We'll read those verses. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the presence of Titus, and not by his presence only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Here the presence of Titus is brought to our attention. Again, we would note that Titus needed to be present in order to comfort. Scripture number 11, Philippians 1, 26. We shall begin with verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We might note that that's not the best translation. Nevertheless, to abide in this flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my presence, parousia, to you again. Briefly, we would note that the two things Paul was referring to